Friday afternoon, and you're listening to the Sheldon McLeod Show. Alex Cook is our producer, and as we know, yesterday the province announced that it was releasing the information that it collected through a survey on the use of and what people in this province said should happen with the sale of recreational cannabis. And then a little later on in the day, they issued its own guidelines in possession and how this process will work. It's through the agency, Nova Scotia Liquor Corporation, NSLC. Earlier in the week, our next guest, well, he raised this issue in an opinion piece in the Herald. Let private enterprise retail pot in Nova Scotia. That did not happen yesterday. Marco Navarro-Gini is here with us. He is the Ames, your president and CEO. Did I get that right?
That's right.
Marco Navarro-Gini in our studio. Welcome back. How are you?
Thank you. I am well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
I want to get this out of the way. Do you have any vested interest in the sale? Are you invested in any way in the manufacture or production of marijuana?
No, I'm afraid I haven't gotten around to, you know, spending all my millions and investing it in the industry.
I had to ask. I had a guest once who said, you know, it does color your position in some ways. So what is it about this issue that you felt compelled to comment on?
The principal idea is, of course, we are an institute that promotes markets as solutions for a better public policy. And what struck me here is that this is the first creation of a new market opportunity in a generation. And in a post-Ivany environment where the government has professed to embrace the values of the Ivany, the one Nova Scotia report, which is to promote entrepreneurship, here they come and they charge at this new opportunity and they grab it, leaving entrepreneurs in Nova Scotia out to dry. This is extremely inconsistent.
I'm wondering how much of the decision yesterday had to do with, okay, for one, our justice minister is a former RCMP officer. That may or may not influence his thoughts, his opinions about cannabis in general, not to prejudge his opinions. But when we see the NSLC as the model that exists now, it's just easier. That people are saying it just makes sense. You know, they already have storefront, they already have a location, they already have staff, so it just makes sense.
It's lazy legislation and it's lazy public policy, I'm afraid. There is ample experience from other jurisdictions where we have seen this happen, and it backfires. And it backfires in several ways. One of the ways, for example, is it restricts the availability of the product to the point where it does not stomp on the illicit market. On the way to the NSLC stores, people are going to pass three or four pushes in the corners. So guess what? And not only that, but because the government is regulating it to the extent that it's regulating it and putting so many rules around it, the illicit market is still going to be able to undersell the actual licit market, which then sort of kills the whole point about choking potentially monies that go into organized crime. So there are plenty of jurisdictions where this has backfired, and we shouldn't be doing it.
Marco Navarro-Gini is here with us in the studio, and we had a panel discussion earlier today, and Dan Allstrand, my colleague, said, you know, 5 years ago, would we have even imagined that, you know, Nova Scotia, a government agency, would be offering this for sale, and a product that had been for generations illegal, that people have been fined, ticketed, and in some cases arrested over. So he says they make a choice. They're damned if they do, they're damned if they don't, that there will be criticism no matter what policy positions are taken.
Well, that's probably true in some quarters, but the more reason why this needs to be done in a rational way, right? So I asked myself the question, for example, why didn't we have a proper opinion poll about this, right? Because this is not what we heard, is what we wanted to hear. The questions were asked, and they were very, very stacked. There is no way to verify, for example, that all NSLC employees, their families, and their grandchildren didn't vote for this. And so this is a process that is extremely tainted. Not only that, but even with stacked questions and with potentially all kinds of people voting on it or re-voting on it, because that's also an interesting case, There were more people who strongly disagreed with the question on NSLC than actually strongly agreed. And the government isn't talking about this. So This is not what we heard, is what we wanted to do to begin with, and now we're using half measures on this consultation to put it in place. But remember, government wins for this, right? Government wins from this. It reaps taxes. It gets to hire more people to enact regulation, legislation, and so forth. So the only winner in this is not going to be the consumer, really. The only winner in this is government.
What do you make of the fact that government, though, is saying this isn't a cash cow? Federally, the government in Ottawa said, no, this isn't going to be a huge windfall. In Nova Scotia, the health minister, the finance minister, the premier, no one is saying this is how much we expect to make from sale of cannabis through taxation.
There are estimates that, for example, you know, in a country like ours, in a first year, and is sort of half measures, we could be raking in from government some $450 million. And that's not even to count, you know, all the sales tax on the munchies that people are going to be pursuing afterwards.
Hmm. And I'm sure this number exists. You say there are estimates. I'm sure government, there's no way government entered into this without at least having some kind of perhaps guesstimate as to what they're going to receive in response to the taxation.
I could not imagine, for example, that any of these governments are jumping into these both feet without having done some calculations. And if they have, well, that's an abdication of responsibility.
Marco Navarro-Gini is here with us, and we're talking about the decision the province took yesterday to sell cannabis through NSLC. I'm wondering about the timing. The same day that they announced this was the same day they announced the arbiter's decision on pay. There was a lot of confusion yesterday over, you know, what government announced for NSGU employees and the fact that this then fell in line, that everybody was happy with the arbiter's decision, even though it kind of flew in the face of some of the things that the premier said over the years. I'm suspicious by nature, by training. That's kind of who I am. But given the timing of this, do you feel we have enough time to put everything in place? You say this is lazy. Could you make the case that we needed to have this in place in several months, that this was really the only alternative?
The problem in part is that this is a product, the advocates of which have been wanting to have their cake and eat it. It's medicinal and it's recreational, if you believe that. Then at least you could make the case that the medicinal can be dispensed in ways in which, for example, we dispense regular drugs, and then you put it in the hands of, you know, private pharmacy owners and what have you. But you go the distance to put it in the hands of entrepreneurs. Governments should not be in the business of selling intoxicants of any sort, for crying out loud. And then, by the way, they're also in charge of the same people who cure you and bring you to hospital and psychologists and all this. It's just a round merry-go-round we go. So a coincidence, I don't know that it's a coincidence, but the fact is this could be done better. And in the time that is allowed, maybe we couldn't do it best, but there are ways to roll this out in a consistent fashion and still make it work in the hands of private entrepreneurs.
So does Marco, do you support the government getting out of the liquor business, privatizing NSLC?
Absolutely. If you look at, for example, the amount of debt that Atlantic Canadian governments carry, for example, and then you look at the number of dollars that they're sitting on in this asset, they could easily divest it and put that money towards paying debt, for example. And this is important, of course, because the more debt we have, the more we have to service it. And that's money that we could be using to buy school supplies or pay teachers or, put more beds in hospitals.
Pave roads. Marco Navarro-Gini, President CEO of AIMS and the Atlantic Institute for Market Studies. Thank you for coming in. Thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
Thanks very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
We're going to take our break. A news update is next.